So we got plenty of time. No, not really. Let's just do 4 and contain it to that. Chapter 4, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Some awesome, awesome verses tonight. Amen. And it said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Everybody say endure afflictions. Everybody say endure afflictions. One more time, everybody say endure afflictions. That's Christians, you know. Amen. God did not promise he would keep you from afflictions. He said you endure them. And could I add this? Without whining. That was downright mean, wasn't it? Another place he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Don't be a weenie. Don't be a wimp. Amen. Praise God. Boy, we're starting off with a bang here, aren't we? See where this is going. Amen. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. We're going to preach here tonight about an epithet of a winner. Amen. I want to be a winner. How about you? Praise God. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The word epithet means a term. It's a term that is used to describe or characterize the nature of a person or a thing. It tries to capture an individual in a word or a few. And so that's what we're going to do here tonight. I'm going to try to capture a winner here in just a few words. First of all, we could say of the Apostle Paul that he was a fighter, because he said, I fought a good fight. Amen. I remember the song from years ago that said, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Amen. We're not here to play video games. We're here to do battle. We're here to roll up our sleeves. Amen. We're here to go mano a mano. Amen. Hand to hand. Face to face. Bad breath to bad breath. Amen. Let's battle. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so Paul was a warrior. Paul was a fighter before he was ever Christian. He fought Christians. Paul fought himself. He was a buzzsaw, I'm telling you. When he was Saul the Pharisee, he was fighting Christians and fighting Saul, because he was so mixed up like a termite in a yo-yo. He didn't know whether he was up or down. Amen. And so he was a fighter. Then he became Paul the Apostle, and those that he fought against, now he fought for. He embarrassed the daylights out of Peter one time. He walked into this room, and Peter was over at this table eating with Gentiles. And this company came in from Jerusalem, a bunch of Jews. And Peter got up. He didn't want to be seen with the Gentiles, so he went over and joined the Jews. And when Paul saw that, he said, hey, Pete, that ain't right, bud. These are your brothers over here, just like those Jews from Jerusalem. Right. Hello? Prejudice was alive and well in the early church, just like we got a battle against prejudice today. If you can't eat with a brother or sister from a different color here, you might as well forget about heaven. If you can't be with your brothers and sisters and worship with your brothers and sisters down here that have a different language, a different culture, a different color, then what do you think going to be in heaven? It's not going to be segregated. We're not going to have a white heaven and a brown heaven and a yellow heaven and a black heaven and any other kind of heaven. Amen. One Sunday school kid said, red and yellow, black and white, mix them up and watch them fight. That's not the way the song goes, but he's pretty close to the truth. Amen, but it shouldn't be that way in the church. Amen. I said it shouldn't be that way in the church. Amen. Praise God. Everybody ought to be welcome in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so Paul stood up for the Gentiles. That was before Paul became converted and got the Holy Ghost. He hated Gentiles. But when he got the love of God in his heart, he loved Gentiles. He became the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm telling you, friend, he stood up and he fought for them. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. There's a time to stand up for what's right. Amen. Even if your brothers and sisters don't agree with you. There's a time to stand up for what's right. Hallelujah. Paul fought the Judaizers. You know what Judaizers were? The Judaizers are a bunch of people that principally they were Jews, or they were Jews, and most of them from Jerusalem. They said it's okay for you to get the Holy Ghost, and it's all right for you to be baptized in Jesus' name. But you've still, Gentile or not, you've got to obey the law of Moses to be saved. You've got to come under you. You've got to obey all of the feast days and all of the fast days. And you've got to obey all of the dietary laws and all of these strict laws we've been under all these years and offer sacrifices. You've got to do all that stuff on top of having the Holy Ghost to be saved. Amen. You see where we come from, folks? We came a long ways, didn't we? Amen. There were people that preached that. Hallelujah. And so Paul stood up and he said, not so, brethren. He said, even us Jews couldn't keep the law. We had a hard time keeping it. Now you're trying to make these people that knew nothing about it. He said, Jesus fulfilled the law. Amen. So there were just a few things he said that you abstain from. I'm glad he did. I don't like blood anyway. He said, I don't want you eating blood. If you like blood, I'm sorry. Quit eating it. If you're a Christian. Amen. Quit it. Praise God. He said, abstain from blood. Amen. And that's not hard for me to do. Amen. I can get with you on that one. You start preaching against chalk, that we're going to have different opinion. But I can handle that preaching against blood all day long. Amen. So Paul stood up against the Judaizers. Amen. He said, the law of grace has set us free from the law of sin and death. He's delivered us. He brought us out. He fulfilled the law. Amen. And so he fought against that. He fought against the Gnostics. We have Gnostics today. The word gnosis, the Greek word gnosis, means knowledge. And they're a bunch of stuck up folks that think they know everything. You ever met a Gnostic? A Gnostic is one that says, you know, just a few of us know the deep things of God. He only reveals the deep stuff to just a few of us, select intellects. And the unwashed masses will never know. Amen. God hates that kind of pride. Amen. He said, a fool, there'll be a wayfaring man, he can find the way. He made it simple. Praise God. Praise God. I said, he made it simple. Amen. He made it so that Johnny Grissom could understand it. He made it so that you could understand it. Amen. He didn't make it hard. He made it easy. Amen. If you want to be saved, God will make it easy for you to be saved. All you got to do is obey. So he fought the Gnostics. He had a thorn in the flesh. He fought that. I don't know what it was. There's a lot of speculation. All he said, it's a thorn in the flesh. Amen. Was it physical? I don't know. Was it a spiritual battle? I don't know. Amen. I don't know what it was. But he had some kind of thorn in the flesh that he battled. And it caused him pain. And he prayed God would deliver him from the thorn in the flesh. But God did not deliver him. Amen. Praise God. Brother Tenney said that, God is more interested in developing your character than he is in your comfort. So we're praying for deliverance from the thorn. And God says, buddy, that's doing you a world of good. It keeps you praying. It keeps you focused. Amen. It keeps you pressing forward. Sometimes God doesn't remove the thorn. He just gives us grace. And that's what he told Paul, wasn't he? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Praise God. And so he battled a thorn. Some of you may be battling a thorn here tonight. Amen. If you are, battle on. Fight on. Amen. He fought against principalities and powers. Amen. Rulers of darkness in high places. How do you do that? You can't see spirits. When I was young and dumber than I am now. God have mercy. I'm glad I didn't answer this prayer. But I was so mad at the devil. I was so upset. I was what? All of probably 16 years old. And I just challenged him to a duel, brother. I said, you meet me at church. Amen. We're going to do battle. I said, aren't you glad God didn't answer some prayers? He said, I admire your spunk, son, but he ain't going to show up. And you better be glad he don't. Amen. And so I didn't know. Amen. But God protected me. Praise God. But you see, we battle principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places, don't we? Those are spiritual battles. Sometimes you battle, you can't see your enemy, but you can feel your enemy. And things just happen to you. We've gone through that a lot around here. We've had people accuse us of all kinds of things. Things I've never been accused of in my whole life, I've been accused of since I've been in Athens. I've been accused of being a drug dealer. I have. I've been accused of running sex orgies. Try it. I've been accused of all kinds of stuff since I've been here. What is that? It's a spiritual battle. There are people that have said things against us, and they didn't even know why they said it. And later on, they apologized. They said, I don't know what it was that made me say that. I know what it was. It was spiritual warfare. It was principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in high places. And if you don't stay prayed up, it can use you. Amen. One person prayed through and said, Pastor, I'm going to lay my tongue on the altar. He's a gossip, you know. I'm going to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, buddy, he said, it's not long enough. We might have to use two of them. But if we need to use two, let's use them. Praise God. Amen. So Paul fought principalities and powers. If you're going to be a great Christian and a successful Christian, you're going to have to be a fighter. You're going to have to fight for your family. You're going to have to fight for your faith. He's going to challenge your faith every day. Amen. He's going to try to tear it down. He's going to send all kinds of people against you. Amen. He's going to send all kinds of questions into your mind. And you're going to battle some things. You got to fight if you're going to maintain your faith. Praise God. Those of you that are in school, you battle every time you go to a classroom. Those of you that go on to universities, you're going to battle even more. Amen. Praise God. You're going to battle even more. Amen. But I'm telling you what, prayer goes a long ways. Prayer goes a long ways. Amen. Praise God. There was a professor at the university where my daughter was going, a biology professor. He wouldn't even pass a student unless they believed in the theory of evolution. You'd get an F if you believed in creation. Law at the state of Texas stepped in and said, "You can't do that, sir. You can't do that." But you see how bold they are? Amen. She had a couple of professors that were ungodly men. Ungodly men. And they made it hard on her. And they were making it almost impossible for her to pursue her education. They were stopping her progress. Simply because if you asked them, they wouldn't know why. But it was the spirit that was in them. Battling against the spirit that was in Cherie. And she came home telling my wife that. My wife got so upset. Boy, she got all riled up. And she said, "Well, I'm just going to pray them out of there." And Cherie's faith gets a little weak. She said, "Mom, these are tenured professors. They're not going anywhere." She said, "Well, I'm going to pray them out." Amen. And she did. Into that school year. She come home. She's so excited. So surprised. She said, "They're leaving. Both of them." Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, you get the spirit of prayer in your faith. You decide you're going to fight. The devil has no option. He has to flee. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you tonight. Amen. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you're going to have to get some fighting spirit in you. Now, I'm not talking about fighting people. We've got some hypocrites giving the name of Christianity a black eye. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and name them. Westboro Baptist Church. Now, I'm not judging Baptist churches, you understand, but anybody knows Westboro knows what I'm talking about. They have a song, and they sing that God hates gays, and God hates all these things. And God doesn't hate gays. He wants to save them. Let me say that again. You may not believe that, but that's truth. I said God wants to save them. It's a sin. And God wants to deliver people from sin. Whether it's lies or homosexuality, God wants to save them. How many believe God can save them? Why not? He did it in the Bible. In the Bible, He did it. He'll do it today. He is doing it today. Amen. Praise God. And so they hate, and they actually demonstrate it at military funerals. When our heroes are brought home, sometimes their families have to face this bunch of hateful Christians protesting at their funeral. What a sick thing to do. Amen. You see, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about fighting like that. Amen. I'm not talking about Amen. Getting crossways with your brother and wanting to fight with him. That's not the kind of spirit I'm talking about. Amen. And that happened. And he tell me in the old timers, they said some of those conferences, they'd get riled up and they'd say, "Brother, you want to take this outside?" That's not what I'm talking about. Amen. We got to have a spirit of unity among the brethren. Amen. We can't fight with one another, but we're going to fight the devil tooth and toenail. Amen. We got to get the spirit of old Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday said, "I hate the devil and I hate sin." He said, "As long as I got a fist, I'm going to hit it. And as long as I got a foot, I'm going to kick it. And as long as I got a heel, I'm going to stomp it." And he said, "And if I don't have a fist to hit it, and if I don't have a leg or foot to kick it, and I don't have a heel to stomp it, and I don't have teeth to bite it," he said, "I'll gum it to death." Amen. His mind was made up. You got to have that spirit that evil is not going to overcome good. And unrighteousness is not going to win against righteousness. And nothing is going to rob you of your faith. Amen. That's the spirit of Paul. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Everybody say, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Everything that comes against your faith, fight against it. Praise God. Fight against it. Amen. Get a hold of eternal life. I mean, you get a death grip on it and you hang on. And don't let anything rob you of your eternal life. Amen. Praise God. Jude said it this way, beloved, and I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Don't let go of the faith. Amen. We're talking here about the body of your beliefs, the core of your values. Don't let it go. Stand up for it. If it costs you your life, stand up for it. If it costs you persecution and imprisonment, stand up for it. If you lose a friend over it, he wasn't a friend anyway. Amen. If it cost you your family, so be it. I've told you the story of Christina, or Christine, that not only lost her family, but she gave up $6 million. Walked away from it because she would not deny her faith. That's what I call fighting for the faith. Amen. She lived in near poverty condition. Amen. But you know what? She was joyful. I never saw her bitter. I never saw her down. I never saw her discouraged. Praise God. She knew where her treasure was. Amen. She knew she made the right decision. Praise the Lord. It's better to be saved and poor than be rich and lost. Amen. And she made the right decision. Praise the Lord. So Paul had the epithet. He was a fighter. Paul was a finisher. He was a finisher. When you start something, you need to finish it. Amen. He was a finisher. You know, sometimes we don't understand we don't know all there is to know about Paul. Certainly we don't, but there are certain facts a lot of folks don't know. We assume that when Paul received the Holy Ghost, that man, he went out preaching crusades and saving thousands of people. You know where he spent his first 12 years? In his home church. I don't know if he taught a Sunday school class. I don't know if he was a youth leader. 12 years. This brilliantly educated man. This man was at the very apex of his career as being a rabbi. And he went back to Tarsus and sat down on the pew for 12 years. You know why? He wanted to preach, but everybody's scared to death of him. Saul of Tarsus? I mean, they could have put up a big banner. Saul of Tarsus, revival. Saul of Tarsus, evangelist. Nobody'd show up. He's the one that kills folks. He put people in prison. I don't want to hear him. Amen. But there was this revival that got started in the city of Antioch. Antioch was the first place, that first church that actually went out into the streets and said, you know what? These Gentiles need to be saved. Let's bring them in. And boldly, Jews started going after Gentiles, bringing them in, witnessing to them, preaching to them, and they started getting saved. Amen. And it wasn't long before it was a huge, massive church, a living, vibrant, living church. And when Barnabas saw that, he said, man, I know just the guy to help us down here. He made a trip to Tarsus. He talked to Saul. And he said, hey, man, he said, they're having revival in Antioch, and it's right up your alley, bud. Bunch of Gentiles being saved. So he went to Antioch, and he teamed up with Barnabas, amen. And they had revival in the city of Antioch. But it wasn't long before the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul unto the work whereunto I have called them. He was a finisher. Even though he didn't get to preach for 12 years, he didn't give up. He didn't have automatic success in the ministry. He didn't give up. Nobody would call him for a revival. He didn't give up. Nobody asked him to come teach a seminar. He didn't give up. Amen. Praise God. If you got a calling, God's going to open doors in His time and His way. You just be ready to step through them. And don't try to dictate to Him what the doors are and where they are. Amen. I know young men that went to Bible college, left Bible college, amen, and never pursued a full-time active ministry. Maybe that was the will of God. I don't know. But all I know is this. When you asked them, they said, well, you know, nothing's opened up for me. What they meant was, what I want has not opened up for me. A church that can pay me a good salary and has got a nice parsonage and a couple hundred people, and that would be nice. Amen. And yet there's churches like Canton, Texas, just begging for somebody to come. Amen. And put their shoulder to the wheel and do a work for God. Amen. It's there, folks. It's there. It's there. It's just waiting for the right person to come that has a vision. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We went to Raymondville, Texas. They said, man, that's a preacher's graveyard down there. Well, if it was, we got out alive. Amen. Praise God. Matter of fact, I was there 14 years and never saw one of our preachers die. Amen. Praise God. You know what we did see? Revival. 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 Praise God. Went from 7 churches to 21 churches in just a short time. Largest church would run about 50 people. We had several churches running over 200. Amen. Praise God. Saw revival. Saw revival. Amen. You see, if that's what you look for, that's what you're going to find. If you're a finisher, you're a finisher. Praise God. As Paul was a finisher, he didn't let that discourage him. Amen. He became a great missionary, the first missionary. You know, it's interesting. It starts out, it says, in Barnabas and Saul. And then it says, Saul and Barnabas. And then it says, Saul. You know what I appreciate about Barnabas? He didn't get bitterness get in his spirit. He didn't say, I'm not singing. I'm not playing second fiddle to anybody. Huh? Yeah, man. If my name's not first on the list, then let's just take my name off the list. He didn't have that kind of spirit. Amen. He was all about encouragement. He was all about exhortation. He was all about giving strength. He was all about an encourager. Thank God for Barnabas. Amen. Paul the prisoner, he didn't quit. Amen. These are some interesting verses here. Acts chapter 20, it said, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit in Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I don't know. This is totally speculation. But it's what historians say. I don't know what they found it on. But they say that they had to change Paul's guard every few hours because he'd convert his jailers. You see, they would literally chain him to a guard. And he said, got you now, bud. You ain't going nowhere till this shift is over. Amen. And it was Acts 2:38 time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can't you imagine being chained to that precious man of God? He said, now, buddy, he said, I don't know what you do about this time of day, but I pray. And he lifted up that old strong preacher voice and he got to praying and the Holy Ghost would come down. He said, I don't know what you do when you start feeling what I'm feeling, man. He said, but I got to shake a leg here. I can't be still. Yeah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise. No wonder he converted them. Amen. He didn't get in prison and say, "Oh, God, why me? All these years I've served you, and look where I am now." Amen. No, sir. He said, "My course is not finished. And this is part of it. If I got to go through this, I'm going to do it with joy." Praise God. Praise God. Amen. That's the way it was, the spirit of Joseph, wasn't it? The Bible said, if he's going to be a prisoner, I'm going to be the best one they got. It wasn't long before he was over the prison. I know that's not saying much, maybe, but he was over everybody there. Everywhere he was, it didn't take him long to go to the top. Because of his attitude, because of his spirit, because of his faith, because of the will of God. Amen. Praise God. So Paul was a finisher. He said, "I'm going to finish my course. I started this thing. I'm going to finish it." Amen. I want to read this to you. This is what he wrote, Philippians. You know where he wrote Philippians from? A prison cell. Chained to a guard. Writing down on some parchment. He said, Philippians 1 and 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Everybody say, he started a good work in me. And he's going to finish it. And he's going to finish it. And he's going to finish it. God's not going to give up on you. Don't you give up on God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just don't give up. Paul was a finisher. Paul was a keeper. And what I mean by that is what he got his hands on, he hung on to it. He didn't let it slip away. He did not let it slip away. He knew he had his values were right. You know, it's important that we know what's important in life. Right? It's important that we know what's really valuable in life. Praise God. I said it's important that we know, especially in this day and age. So many people don't know what's important. Amen. Praise God that they're pursuing all the wrong things. But Paul knew what was valuable. He knew what was important. When he got the Holy Ghost got him. Amen. And it kept him and he kept the Holy Ghost. Whenever the church rejected him in the early years, he didn't give up on the church. Huh? I went to that church. Nobody talked to me. Nobody shook my hand. I ain't going back. Huh? Now you're preaching, Brother Grissom. Hello? Hello? Well, let me ask you a question. Did you speak to anybody? Did you shake anybody's hand? Well, no, but they didn't shake mine. Huh? Well, nobody talked to me. Did you talk to anybody? Well, no, but. Boy, that's good stuff. God, get that old ugly spirit off of us. God, get that old ugly spirit off of us. God, get that old ugly spirit off of us. Hallelujah. Spirit of selfishness. Amen. Just thinking about myself. Amen. That'll destroy you. You got to look beyond that. You got to look beyond that. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So the church wouldn't shake his hand. The church wouldn't give him a hug. The church wouldn't say good things to him. Amen. But you know what? Paul said, "You know what? I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth." Amen. "Some glorious day. Gonna sail away. Not by his grace, not by my works. I'm in this church." Amen. In other words, he said, "I'm going to keep it. The church may not think I'm a keeper, but I'm going to stay right here." Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. You know, those of you here tonight, you kind of had to get a little of that spirit, didn't you, to hang around. His brethren rejected him. Some of his friends. Now, you read your Bible. You and I, we revere the Apostle Paul. We think he's a great man. But you read the Bible, he had some enemies. He had people talk bad about him. Yes, they did. They called him all kinds of names. They said, you're just a little short, bald-headed fella. Amen. You can't talk very good. You're not a good preacher. They did. That. They called him all kinds of stuff. You call yourself an apostle. You're not an apostle. They attacked him. They said bad things about him. I'm talking about his brethren here. I'm talking about other Christians. Buckle your seatbelt. I'm talking about preachers. Preachers. Talking like that about another preacher. God forbid. Let me tell you something. You get around somebody talking bad about somebody, when you leave, they'll talk bad about you. You get around somebody with a little gossip spirit, dumping all kinds of bad stuff in your ears, you just be careful. I know some people that they'll almost starve to death, and almost their kidneys will almost burst before they'll leave the room, because they know if they leave, they're going to talk about them. You know why? Because they're talking about everybody else. And so they don't want to leave, because as soon as I leave, they're going to get on me. Well, if you want to talk about me, it's going to have to be something good if it's true. Speak on. Hello? Isn't that right? We all live our life like that. You want to talk about me? Go ahead. It'll be good stuff. If you're not saying good stuff, you're lying. Amen. Woo. Praise the Lord. It's good stuff, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know where else you're going to hear it, but you're going to hear it here tonight. His brethren rejected him, but he kept it. He said, no, I'm not letting go of this. Woo. I got the Holy Ghost, brother. Nothing's going to get. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it. You may not want me to keep it, but I'm going to keep it anyway. Amen. And his close friends failed him. He said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. He's in prison. He needed Demas. He was at a low point in his life. But he said, no, Demas, if you got to walk away, but I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it. Amen. Because Paul was a keeper. Amen. Since co-workers left him, old John Mark couldn't cut the mustard. Amen. Walked away. Amen. But you know what I like about John Mark? He got around Barnabas. Amen. Barnabas said, son, I know you failed. You got lonesome. You wanted to go home to mama. Maybe you got sick. I don't know what your problem was. But son, you can make it. I know you can. I know what's in you. Amen. You just get up and try again. I know Paul's disappointed. Amen. But you got to keep trying. Don't give up, son. Come on and work with me. Amen. We can still do the work for God. We can have revival together. And so Barnabas and John Mark worked together. And it wasn't long before Paul was saying, hey, send John Mark back to me. Amen. Paul was a keeper. Amen. Praise God. He didn't let close friends letting him down. He didn't let sickness get him down. He didn't let bad health get him down. I don't understand. I know that sickness is hard on you, but seems like you'd want to be closer to God when you were sick. Is that right? Meantime, I get closer to death, I won't be closer to God. I don't be getting mad at him about the time of my departure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know a whole lot about sickness. I've had a few incidents in my life and got some plumbing done on the inside and got things straightened out. But, I understand. But I don't want to get sickness to separate me and God. Don't want that to happen. Amen. Because if I ever needed God, I need him when I'm sick. I don't know if you've ever been that sick, but I've been sick enough. I literally prayed, God, either you heal this or get me out of here. I don't care which one. Just don't leave me like this. Amen. Praise God. And thank the Lord he healed me. I'm really kind of glad he took that route. But at the time, I was pretty serious. I was hurting. You get shingles and dengue fever at the same time, I promise you hurt. There ain't nothing that don't hurt. Amen. And then God healed me. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Hallelujah. Paul said, persecution's not going to, it's not going to separate me. I'm going to hang on to God. He said, even death is not going to separate me. Isn't that awesome? Death can't separate you from God. You know what death really is? Death is not anything. Death is the absence of something. Death is the absence of life. Isn't that right? Amen. That's what it is. It's just simply when life leaves, that's just what's left. Death. And what happens when we leave? Amen. The Bible said that we leave the earth to be present with the Lord. What's wrong with that? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Sounds to me like that's a good thing. I said that sounds to me like a good thing, don't you think? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we let the world rub off on us even in these areas. Even in the area of grief. Now, I'm not saying, I guess Sister Kilgore, bless her sweet heart, she was such a realist and such a great person. When she was so sick, she said, people praying for her, she said, and I don't want you praying for that will of God business. She said, I want to be healed. I want to live. Of course, she said that somewhat jokingly, but she halfway serious because she wanted to live. She didn't want to die. She had a lot to live for, and she wanted to. Amen. Praise God. But I promise you, she wouldn't want to come back here now. Amen. After being there, everybody I've ever met that got to see heaven said, uh-uh, I didn't want to come back here. Once I got there, uh-uh. I can't even imagine what that's like. Praise God, but it must be awesome. I've never lived a day of my life where there wasn't sin around. The very atmosphere that I live in is corroded and eroded with sin. It's so full of it everywhere you go. Isn't that right? There's old ugly, filthy spirits you have to battle all day long. When you get around people and the way they talk and the jokes they tell and the language they use and the smoke they blow and all the things they do all day long and their filthy conversation and your ears are full of that garbage, amen. You go in a restaurant to eat a meal and it's coming over the speakers you don't believe that'll affect you? Well, maybe it don't, but it does me. I'll be sitting there in Pizza Hut and my foot goes. And I think, what in the world am I tapping to here? Amen. It just does. When we moved to the valley, we had an old radio. It got one station, all the stations it get. So it was the country station there in Raymondville, and it was set to that. When my alarm would go off, it seemed like every morning they'd play the same song. Big Mabel Murphy. She loved little Melvin. See, I learned at least that much of that song before I could turn it off. First thing I did when I got enough money was I went and bought a clock, a radio that'd get more than one station. I got rid of Big Mabel Murphy and little Melvin. I decided that wasn't the best way to start my day. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But even death can't separate us from God. He's a keeper. He's a keeper. Amen. Paul was a keeper. Amen. And we gotta keep this, folks. Jesus said it, did he not? He said, if you love me, what did he say? Wear a cross around your neck. Put a bumper sticker on your car. Says, honk if you love Jesus. Is that what he said? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our love is not the cross we wear around our neck or the bumper sticker on our car. Amen. Our love for God is our obedience to His commandments. That's how we show our love to Him. John chapter 17, 14, he said, 15, I pray not that you should take, talking about the church, take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Jesus didn't pray for you to get the Holy Ghost and go to heaven instantly. He said, I need your witness. You hang around a while. He said, but my prayer is just keep them from evil. And let me tell you something, that prayer still works. I said, Jesus prayed that, and it's still efficacious for the church today. Amen. It hasn't changed, has it? Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, for the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded. Everybody said, am persuaded. Am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Paul said, I'm a keeper and God's a keeper too. Amen. He's able to keep me, and I'm going to keep some things too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How do you keep things? He said in 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That's how you keep good stuff, by the Holy Ghost. Brother, how do I keep the joy? By the Holy Ghost. How do I keep the victory? By the Holy Ghost. How do I keep holiness? By the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whatever you need keeping in your life, the Holy Ghost is going to keep you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. James tells us this. You know what I like about James? He was Mr. Practicality. James wasn't into the newest stuff. He was not into pop psychology. James is into stuff that works. That's what I like about James. This is what he said. James 1:27, he said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father's this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Everybody say, keep himself. Keep himself. The only one that can keep you unspotted from the world is yourself. Let me say that again. The only one that can keep you is yourself. Your pastor can't do it. Your Sunday school teacher can't do it. Your youth director can't do it. Your parents can't do it. Your grandkids can't do it. Nobody can keep you unspotted but yourself. Amen. Praise God. Are you a keeper? Are you a keeper? Any keepers in the house tonight? Amen. You got it. You're going to keep it, right? 1 John 5:21, he said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Are there still idols in the world today? Are there still idols in the world today? I mean, they may not be little gods made out of course, in the old times, they were made out of silver and gold. Now they make everything out of plastic. Amen. But you can sit an idol over in the corner and plug it in. Amen. Turn the channel. Well, not even have to turn. You just punch a button. If you know more about Days of Our Lives, if that's still around, I have no idea. But if you know more about that than you do about Jesus, and that may be an idol. If you can't get to church on Wednesday night because of whatever's on there, that just might be an idol. Huh? Praise God. That just might be an idol. Can become an idol in a lot of people's lives. It controls people's lives. There are people, they can't even sit around a table and eat a meal. They get their TV trays, they call them, right? And everybody goes and sits on the couch. Mm-hmm. It just might be an idol. That's good preaching, Brother Grissom. Thank you for saying that. Amen. If I walk into your room and I see what's hanging on the wall, there just might be some idols. Boy, now buckle your seatbelt. Guys, it's going to get spooky here for a minute. If you know more sports statistics than you do scriptures, uh-huh. And you can name the roster on every ball team, but you can't name the 12 apostles. Or the books of the Bible. But I just can't remember anything. Oh, really? Sounds to me like doing pretty good. Amen. Praise God. I'm not saying that I'm not totally preaching against, you know, people like sports. Well, bless you. Amen. But I'm just saying that you got to be careful because there's some idols in the world. Amen. I'm going to go a little step further. If you got a little lady you can't live without, or you got a little man you can't live without, huh? You just might have an idol. Now, I love my wife, and I hope my wife loves me. I believe she does. She's been putting up with me. Guess what? In just a few more days, she'll put up with me for 40 years. Amen. That's right. 40 years. Amen. That's a long time. Amen. She's put up with a lot. She must love me. Amen. But what he said, I'm saying, we don't worship people either. Praise God. Hello? So we don't worship people either. We don't worship. I try not to do it. Sometimes I slip up, but I try real hard not to say I love something. I've heard people say, I love my car. Well, I know what you mean when you say that, but I try not to say that because I don't want any attraction to any physical thing. I mean, I like my car. I appreciate my car, but I don't love my car. I love my house. Well, no, I don't love my house. Right now, I don't hardly even like it. It's got so much work that needs to be done, and I'm not getting around to it. And yet my wife loves me. She's put up with that. Amen. My great idea to tad on. Do it with my hand. Be a man. I appreciate that. Save money. Appreciate that. Praise God. And well, nonetheless, praise God. Amen. So he said, flee from idols. Flee from idols. Whatever they are. Anything that gets between you and God can become an idol. Anything that gets between you and God. A job can become an idol. Anything that gets between you and God can become an idol. Amen. So watch out, folks. Don't let anything get between you and God. I heard somebody say this. Somebody said, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. Somebody made the observation that if a hypocrite gets between you and God, he's closer to God than you are. Amen. Good stuff there. Amen. I like this. Jude, he said, verse 21, he said, keep yourselves, everybody say, keep yourselves. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. How do you keep yourselves in the love of God? Amen. You've got to experience the love of God every day. How do you do that? By being in His presence. Prayer. Amen. And sometimes anybody ever not feel like anybody loves you? Amen. But you know what? Love is not a feeling. Let me say that again. Love is not a feeling. You know, these people in Hollywood, they fall in love and they fall out of love. No wonder they're all bruised up. They're always falling. And you don't fall in love and you don't fall out of love. Love is a commitment. Love is a decision. Amen. You make up your mind. You say, I do, and then you do it. Amen. Praise God. And you have differences, you work them out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir, because you see, love is, keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, one thing that'll help us, and I'm just going to say a few things here about this. I think I'm not, you know, doing any real spiritual stuff here. I'm just going to pastor a little bit. Amen. But if you will focus on the things that attracted you and the things that made you fall in love, rather than on your differences, right? You can put things back together. Amen. But what happens is we get emotionally involved, and all we can see is our differences. And we don't look at the things that brought us together. Amen. Praise God. So, and you work things out. Compromise. Everybody say compromise. Now, compromise is not all one-sided. Amen. Sir, if you threw the socks on the floor, it won't hurt you to pick the socks up off of the floor. And all the women said, amen. That wasn't very good. All the women said amen. And woman, if you open the drawer, don't leave it there for me to run over. Close the drawer. Well, that was sneaky, wasn't it? You weren't expecting that now. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's not worth, you know, having a fight over things. Just learn how to work things out. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Whatever it takes to make peace in your home, it's worth it. Well, bless God, I wasn't raised that way. Well, you may have to get that way if you're going to preserve your marriage. You didn't marry your mama. And you didn't marry your daddy. Amen. Praise God. Lord of mercy, how did we get here? Amen. Enough about that. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Praise God. There's somebody that can keep you from falling. And in hand, we walk each day. Hand in hand along the way. Walking thus, I cannot stray. Hand in hand with Jesus. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. To him that's able to keep you from falling, but you got to walk with him. You can't walk away from him. You got to walk with him. You got to walk in the light because he is the light. Amen. In him there is no darkness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. You got to walk in the light, and he'll keep you from falling. Amen. I don't know how it is you, but I don't stumble much in the daytime. But man, I have had some doozies at night. I have demolished toenails. Ooh, at night. Praise God, all kinds of stuff. Because you start walking around in the darkness, you can get yourself in trouble in a hurry. Stuff you didn't know was there, you will discover. Unpleasantly, but you will discover. Don't walk in the darkness. He's able to keep us. Amen. Let's be finishers. And I'm finished. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's be finishers tonight. Amen. Let's be keepers tonight. Let's fight the good fight of faith tonight. Amen. Let's don't let anything detour us. Don't let anything stop us. Don't let anything turn us around. Don't let anything make you give up. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Fox's Book of Martyrs said, when Polycarp, the great bishop, was about to be crucified, they asked him to recant his faith. If you'll just recant Jesus Christ and your faith in him, you don't have to die. You don't have to suffer. And Polycarp looked at them and he said, 86 years. Amen. He's done me nothing but good. How could I deny him now? He was a keeper. Praise God. He was a keeper. Praise God. He was a keeper. And we got to get that same spirit. It says, there's nothing in this world worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for more. He's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason. He's the only reason I live.